Oh, it's terrible. It's just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
Hiroshima.
Hello, Jellyheads, and welcome to another exciting episode of... I gotta stop doing that voice. It's No Use Just Sits Drive-In, the movie discussion podcast where we discuss
movies,
whatever the hell movie we want, you know? Last week we were talking about Star Wars. What do you discuss after Star Wars? Why, of course, you discuss the ghost and Mr. Chicken. What else?
Call brave. What is brave?
Let me demonstrate. Now, some men are afraid of girls. Well, that's silly. Girls can't hurt you. A brave man just sweeps the female right off her feet. Nothing to it. Some men are afraid of men. No red-blooded American boy should be afraid of men. Be bold, be firm, and above all, be sure-footed. Some men are afraid of ghosts. That's kid stuff.
Do haunted houses scare you?
They're mortar, stone, and wood.
Well, good, because you're going to spend the murder night in the Simmons house alone.
Some men are afraid of their shadows. Some shadows are afraid of their men. So what is brave?
How should I know? I'm Chicken.
Just who do you think you are? A little pipsqueak like you fighting us in court? Just who do you think you are?
Drop dead, that's who.
All right, Luther, now just calm down.
Calm! Calm! Do murder and calm go together? Calm and murder?
He'd started as a roving reporter with murder on his beat. Now he's a raving reporter as he tries to solve the mystery of the secret passage, the blood-dripping portrait, the ghostly organist.
And you're Chicken if you miss this movie.
Why is it... I know that this movie's kind of like a play on a title of another movie, but where's the Mr. Chicken coming from?
Oh, Don Knotts is the Mr. Chicken in this.
Is it just because he's a scaredy cat?
Yeah.
Because the words, like, does anybody call him a Mr. Chicken?
I don't think so. I don't think anyone calls him Chicken. They call him names based on, like, the fact that he's trying to be a newspaper reporter. They call him Scoop, you know?
So, the title writers were just, like, so into parodying the title of that movie.
The Ghost and Mrs. Muir.
Yeah. They didn't go, like, hey, is this relevant?
Well,
completely?
That's a funny thing, because the original title of this movie was called Running Scared.
I think that's a little closer, because the ghost stuff in this is very minimal.
Right, right. If you called it Running Scared, that would actually make a lot more sense. I mean, you think about a newspaper. It's a run. They call it a run of, you know,
yeah.
Run the news.
Come on. Puns. Book, newspaper, movie, magazine, title puns. It's a tradition as old as human writing.
Sure. Yeah, you can see it in Beowulf.
Well, did you know...
The puns!
Well, they are. I don't know about... There probably is actually in Beowulf. In, like, the original writing.
Oh, yeah, there probably is.
Yeah. The thing about punning is that punning used to be seen as, like, this really intellectual way of writing because, like, you're trying to show off, you know, how to use a language. And there's puns in the Hebrew version of the Bible.
What?
Yeah. If in the original Hebrew, words are written so that there are puns in it.
Is this somehow relate to Jewish comedy or something?
Jeez.
I'm sorry, that's the first place my mind went. I don't think that's a bad thing to say. I don't think that's offensive.
Well, it goes that far back to the beginning.
That is impressive. That is good to know.
Shakespeare is loaded with it. So many puns in Shakespeare.
Of course, Shakespeare. Yeah.
That's hundreds of years old.
Now, we were at a get-together, and I believe it was John, our friend John, who said something. You know, we were sitting around, we were referencing things, and, like, deep-cut references from TV shows, movies, and stuff. And I believe John said something about, is this a new thing that people do? You know, it's like, he's like, I can't see my parents' generation making all these sorts of deep cut connections from what it seems like a modern sensibility thing.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember exactly how he put it. And at the time I was just like, I'll have to think about that. And later I thought, well, actually, like the nerdiness of, you know, pop culture and making these reference probably does go back a long time if you look at not the common people, but the
intelligentsia.
Yeah, the intellectuals would probably be making, if they were talking to each other, they'd be making tons of deep cut references to like the literature that they were reading, philosophy, absolutely, and all this stuff. And now it's just that the popular culture has become such a huge thing for the common man that the common man can do that to a certain extent. And the group of people we were hanging out with at the time were a bit more sophisticated than I would say the average person. And so making those sorts of like nerdy references as you like have it thrown into a conversation where it's like people in the group know what you're talking about because they're connecting A to B to C in their heads when you make a reference to a show, or is an outsider who doesn't know anything about the stuff you're talking to might just be sitting there completely perplexed, like, I don't know what the meaning of this is.
I don't know what to add to that.
I don't know. It was a thought that kind of went on its own thread, and that thread seems to have ended. So let's talk about the ghost of Mr. Chicken with Don Knotts.
Don Knotts. I'm Don Knotts, and I'm horrible.
Don't say that. You're the vice president of Planet Fresno.
No, I'm incompetent. I'm competent at my job.
Wow, talking about making deep cut references, you just tied this all together, man.
Hey!
Because no one will understand that.
Oh, come on. Our 800-something listeners. Somebody in there's got to know about Lost Radio.
Well, that's the thing. We've never reviewed a Don Knotts movie on this show before, but back when we were in college, we had a friend who did Don Knotts impersonation, so we brought him on our radio show.
Well, we had him first on to do Peter Lorre impressions.
Right, we had him on to do other impressions, but then we found out he could do a Don Knotts impression, and we were just like, you gotta do that on the show. So he did his Don Knotts impression on the radio show. And because our radio show was set in outer space, he was the vice president of Planet Fresno. It's just crap we made up. I'm sure no one cares. But it makes us laugh.
But speaking of friends from college, Dave.
Yes.
We're 1 degree separated from Don Knotts.
Yeah, that was one of those things where it's like we were all hanging out and somebody brought up that.
It was at Aaron's wedding.
This guy. Yeah, it was Aaron's wedding.
Sarah, who's been on the show.
Yep, Sarah, who's on the show around Halloween. She did Creepshow and The Serpent in the Rainbow with us. Hopefully she'll be back to do White Zombie with us later this month.
And has done a lot of art for us.
Oh, yes, especially the Gabbit. I love the Gabbit. I don't know what to say.
She has a boyfriend who is Don Knotts' nephew.
There you go.
And immediately upon hearing this information from them, I look at his face and I'm like, you're fucking right. This guy's a Knotts. He's a bit older. And he was telling me, he's like, yeah, I really only met him once at a family reunion. And he was like, hey,
it's your Uncle Don. He's a famous actor. And you're like, oh, hi.
But that's funny though. We're sitting down here with our knots on, and we know somebody who's blood related to Don Knotts. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool, Dave?
It's definitely cool. He seemed like a cool guy.
Even cooler than our Kevin Bacon connection.
Well, everybody's connected to Kevin Bacon, so that's a surprise.
So,
where are we? 3 degrees removed from Kevin Bacon?
I think that's how we got to it. We managed to figure out we were even closer than we thought we were.
Yeah, so I think I originally tried to figure it out, and it was, I figured out 4, and then somebody else said, no, actually it's 3 because of this, and we're like, holy crap.
So, where do we begin, Dave? What is this movie?
Well, we said the title of it, The Ghost and Mr. Chicken.
We know, but what is it, Dave? What is it? Unfortunately,
it's Don Knotts in a haunted house. That's how it was pitched to me.
It is and it isn't.
Okay, but that's... it is Don Knotts in a haunted house.
It isn't. Now, we reviewed this movie for our Halloween week because it's like Don Knotts, haunted house. Oh, yeah. Bringing back memories of Scooby-Doo.
It does bring back memories of Scooby-Doo. It does. It really does.
But he's in a haunted house for all of like 5 minutes out of an hour and a half movie. And the rest of it is him trying to prove that he didn't make up the story about the haunted house.
That is true. But that segment in and of itself, which I want to just take out that segment. If I can find it on YouTube, I just want to take out that segment and post it on our Facebook page.
The court?
It's like that's... No, when he's in the haunted house. Oh, he thinks there's really ghosts there.
Yeah.
Before the Scooby-Doo-ing of the ending.
Oh, yeah.
It's just it's a pretty great sequence in and of itself,
and that's what I thought the whole movie was going to be.
If the holy shit, if the whole movie was that would be awesome. This would be a great movie.
More in the lines of that. What was that? We at college watched like a Don Knotts movie where he was a detective and he was investigating a murder in a house.
Are you sure?
Oh yeah.
Don Knotts.
He's in this like Sherlock Holmes outfit. Let me get on Google. I don't think he plays Knotts. He shows up in Scooby-Doo as that character too. The Private Eyes.
Inspector Winship? Yeah, I see it. I did not watch this movie with you.
Who did I watch it with then? You're the only person that would think I'd have a reason to watch it with.
I don't know, but it wasn't me.
Huh. Maybe it was Bubba.
Maybe it was Bubba because it wasn't me, sir. Sorry, man.
You don't know about this?
No, I haven't seen this.
In Scooby-Doo movies, this character showed up a bunch of times.
Well, we know Don Knotts showed up on Scooby-Doo. It's like, hey, it's Don Knotts!
Hey, it's Don Knotts! It's non-Dots!
It's like an old bad joke of Don Knotts showing up in Scooby-Doo. It's actually been parodied. I mean, isn't that how our generation learned who Don Knotts was? We didn't grow up with Mayberry.
The last thing
we grew up with Scooby-Doo. Yeah.
I think the last thing he was in was he did voice work as a teacher in a Bill Cosby cartoon on Nickelodeon. That was like early 2000s.
He's got some video credits here. An Air Bud movie in 2006. And a cameo on That 70s Show.
Does he play the landlord like from Three's Company?
Yes, that's exactly what he does. He plays the landlord. They're doing a whole Three's Company episode bit and he plays the landlord.
I think the show is Fatherhood. Yeah, Fatherhood, created by Bill Cosby. That was the last thing I remember him being in before he died.
Okay, the last thing I would have seen would have been That 70s Show.
Anyway, we're just getting into general Don Knotts.
Yep, and that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about The Ghost of Mr. Chicken.
All right, Dave, why don't you give our audience a little synopsis?
Ooh, I didn't prepare a synopsis.
Oh. Well, what is it? What happens to Don?
Basically, he's this put-upon typesetter at the newspaper. He wants to be a reporter. But every time he thinks he's got a story... It turns out to not be a big deal, and it ends up humiliating him. He thinks he witnesses a murder, and it's just a guy he gets knocked out and gets up later. And they start making fun of him for that. And this guy he works with doing the typesetting stuff at the newspaper, I think it's the janitor of the newspaper, is just like trying to help him out. And he's like, hey, you know, there's this mansion down the street where there was a murder. Or actually, I think
it's the same mansion.
It's the same mansion. Okay, the guy who gets knocked out, who Don Knotts thinks is dead, gets knocked out in front of this mansion where there was a murder years ago. You forget all these little connections. It's hard to explain. The point of a synopsis is to give a quick description.
He's an aspiring reporter. Everybody doesn't take him seriously. They have him go to spend the night in the mansion where he experiences some ghostly things. He actually doesn't write it. Other people write it for him. And he becomes a celebrity because of his story about being in the haunted house. And then someone sues him for libel because it's like slander against his family for the events in the, I don't know. It's a really weak claim. And then he goes.
Totally weak ass claim.
And then he goes to court for it. And then he's like, hey, he can't prove anything. So they take him to the mansion. Still can't find anything. And then his girlfriend finds out what's really going on. And
oh, God,
then he gets married.
Girlfriend.
Turns out, no haunting, of course, in a Scooby-Doo twist. But the typesetter guy he works for,
the janitor at the. Who sets him up in this.
Yeah.
It's actually funny the way they're talking about it. Like, first he publishes the story without telling his boss he's going to do this. He publishes the story in the paper.
Terribly written story.
It's terribly written. Yeah. It's like when they read it back, you go, oh, he can't write for shit. No wonder no one's promoted it. What was the line? The horribleness and awfulness of it will actually never be forgotten.
Yeah.
It's just terrible writing. It's terrible. It's just terrible.
I'm bad at my job. I'm incompetent. I've risen to my level of incompetence.
But despite the bad writing, everybody in town is talking about this story. And they're like, well, we've got to follow this up. And like the janitor's there just going, it just like keeps coughing. It's like, do you know something about this?
Oh, yeah. He's Irish.
He's not a leprechaun. He's just Irish, Lucas.
Oh, yes. You take the Don Knotts and you put him in the mansion.
So, yeah, the janitor convinces him to do this, you know, to get Don Knotts into the mansion, right?
Yep.
Don Knotts goes to the mansion, has all these spooky experiences in a really great sequence. And then the next day, he tells his story to the real reporters, you know, the real people at the newspaper, and they type it up and publish it, makes him a town icon for a while. But the guy who owns the house, who's related to the people that were killed in the house, and who's trying to sell the house, you know, all of a sudden, it's like he can't sell the house because of the story. You know, he's like, he just wants to get rid of this house real bad.
Yeah.
And so because he can't sell the house, for, again, crazy reasons, the bank refuses to let go of the deed to the property.
Right. Because it's like they don't... The bank still owns it, and he technically doesn't own it. It's like some...
Right.
It wasn't concrete.
But he's buying it back so he can sell it.
Or something.
But the banker's wife is a spiritualist? Yeah, is like... She's got a group... of a little society club.
A little well-dressed ladies who are into the occult.
Who are hilarious, by the way. That came out of nowhere. That was really surprising. I was not expecting that, and it was really funny. The way they're just like going up to the house with their hands outstretched. She's like, we can feel the vibrations. Oh! And... like, one grabs a hold of, like, the wrought iron gate in the house and then grabs the woman next to her, and then they, in a line, like, grab each other and they go, woo!
And they're, like, huge supporters of Don Knotts.
Oh, yeah. But then because the guy who wants, he wants to sell his house, but his house is all tied up because the banker's wife is really into this ghost stuff. So he's like, the only recourse I have left is to try to sue this guy and get rid of his fame. So, you know, when it's pointed out that there is no ghost, you know, that he made up the story,
mm-hmm.
then he'll be able to get the house and sell it. Or tear it down. He's going to tear down the house.
Yeah.
And sell the land. Long story short, the janitor knows that the guy trying to tear down the house actually committed the murders and is trying to get the house and tear it down to cover up all traces of his murder.
That's what it was?
Yes.
Okay.
Because if they find the secret passage in the house, it'll reveal that he is actually the murderer.
Why?
Because the guy was thrown off of the top of the house, the tower of the house, you know.
Yeah.
To his death. But the story is he jumped because the secret passageway is how the guy got back down to the first floor quickly. So it looks like he came up to find out what happened.
Yeah. The murder was
like
what?
Like everyone else did.
Was the idea that he, what, stabbed his wife with shears, then went upstairs and played the piano and jumped out?
Right, yeah, that was the ghost story version of the murder.
Yeah.
The janitor knows this, but he's never been able to prove it because the janitor was the groundskeeper of the house. So it's all a plot by this janitor groundskeeper to reveal this murder. It makes, if this isn't making sense, it's because it doesn't make sense. Like, they even point out, it's like, why didn't you just come forward with this information? It's like, I needed other people to see that this was he. Here, it's just like, you could, no, this is stupid. This is a terrible plot twist. This makes no sense. But it turns out there's no ghost, and all the things that were happening to Don Knotts were this janitor doing it.
It's very Scooby-Dooey.
Very Scooby-Dooey. So how the hell did this movie come to be, right?
Right, Dave, how did it come to be? Do you have a story? Got some scoops?
I have a little bit of a story. It's not much. It's
got a little, like, little tortilla scoops?
Little tortilla scoops.
Scoop that salsa. Give me a little hot story.
Oh, yes. You know, Don Knotts, he was on the show. I always refer to it was as Mayberry, but it's the Andy Griffith Show. You know, you had Andy Griffith
right.
as the sheriff, and Don Knotts played Barney, his klutzy deputy. I believe his name was Barney.
Yes. Barney Fife.
Barney Fife.
Barney FIFA.
He's not playing soccer, I don't think. Yes, Barney Fife, and then there was little Ron Howard. He played the kid on that show, and now he's making a Star Wars film. Which is why we're just... That's the connection of why we're talking about this after Star Wars, right?
Right, Dave, because Ron Howard, director of the Han Solo movie, was in Andy Griffith with Don Knotts. All right, show's over. Glad you all came for this, guys.
That's what you bought your ticket for.
Go home.
That's actually a really interesting story because Andy Griffith was supposed to be the comedic lead of that show. That show was, you know, bought with, you know, the intention that Andy Griffiths was going to play this silly character, right?
Right.
And then he found Don Knotts and said, hold the phone, I'll play the straight man, the serious sheriff, and this guy is going to be the funny guy.
Really?
Yes. That's how you got, you know, the Andy Griffiths Show, as we all know it today, you know. Right?
Yeah. Although... Okay, yeah, go on, go.
Yeah, so Don Knotts is really the star of that show because he's the funny character.
Is this... I mean, it's not kind of the same because the guy got Don Knotts, but it sounds almost like an Urkel situation here.
Almost, whereas, like, sometimes a character takes over a show, whereas Don Knotts playing Barney Fife, that became the intention before the show went to air. You know, it's like they discovered this talent in Don Knotts, and they said, and even the guy who is supposed to be the star of the show said, this is the show, this is how we got to do this. It certainly didn't hurt Andy Griffith's career. He went on to do all sorts of things. And I believe before the Andy Griffith Show was in this really badass movie where he played this really sadistic character. Or maybe sadistic is going too far, but really it's like he was a damn good actor. He played this multi-layered, supremely flawed character in, I can't remember the name of the movie now.
Andy Griffith in badass, supremely cool, multi-layered character.
A Face in the Crowd. That was the movie, A Face in the Crowd. This is not a title that jumps out right away.
It's more like a title that jumps in.
Exactly.
Where are you going with this, Dave?
Just the Face in the Crowd is an extremely cool movie that everyone should see. But anyways, so Don Knotts' popularity starts to take off because of the Andy Griffith Show. And then it gets to a point around 64 where they're like, you're popular enough that we can put you in movies. And that was a big step because, you know, today we got a lot, TV's different. We got a lot of actors coming from movies who want to be in television series. Back then, the whole goal was to get into movies, right?
Right.
Like TV, that was small potatoes, but the movies, right?
Right.
Unless, of course, you were Ernest Borgnine, who is just like, to hell with it, I'm going to do a TV show. That was McHale's Navy.
Oh,
and Ernest Borgnine did that because none of the kids on his street knew who he was. None of them had seen his movies, but they could name every TV Western actor that was out there. So he's like, because he realized in TV, you're coming into people's homes and like all of a sudden everybody recognizes you.
Okay. He wanted immortality.
Yep. And he achieved it. He's Ernest Borgnine. Mission accomplished, sir. So Universal Pictures picked up Don Knotts for this series of comedy films starring Don Knotts. And there was The Incredible Mr. Limpet, which you saw as a kid.
I did. That movie, I don't know, both kind of freaked me out.
Because he turns into an animated fish.
He does. It's like this guy just, when he does that, I'm like, I'm freaked out by the fact that it just happens to him. It's like, what if that happened to me? What if I'm just like, I want to be a squirrel, and then I'm a squirrel.
It's like, I saw The Sword in the Stone, too. I'm really freaked out about turning into a fish now. And after that, the next one was The Ghost of Mr. Chicken, and then it was The Reluctant Astronaut, The Shakiest Gun in the West, which sounds really... I kind of want to see that one, just on the title alone. Don Knotts is a Western, just seems hilarious. And the last movie he did in 1970 is called The Love God. I'm not sure about that. But these are probably all worth checking out. He often worked with the crew, both in front of the camera and behind the camera, were people that he worked with on television. And, like, you can really tell that. Like, with The Ghost of Mr. Chicken, it's like the direction and the writing were people from TV.
Yeah, it had a very staged TV look and feel.
Yeah, in fact, this was... The entire concept of this was based on an episode of The Andy Griffith Show where Barney Fife has to retrieve a baseball from an abandoned house and it's all crickety and stuff, and the episode is called The Haunted House. And Andy Griffith suggested to him when Don Knotts goes off to make movies, Andy Griffith's like, hey, that haunted house one, that was funny. You could turn that into an entire movie. And that's what they did.
I just wish there was more haunted house.
I do too. You know, I love that haunted house scene. At half an hour in, we were in the haunted house, and I was just like, is this the rest of the movie? And I was really excited. And then it's over in, like, 8 minutes. It's like an 8-minute scene, right?
Yeah. They just cut away, and he's done with it. It's like, I'm telling the truth.
He faints, and they cut to the next day.
It's a bummer, man. Just keep the Knotts in there. I mean, you can even have him, maybe eventually figuring things out for himself. I don't know. Maybe even you could have kept the production levels down by not having as many actors.
Right. Like, if I'm given the script for The Ghost and Mr. Chicken or Running Scared, whatever they were calling it at the time, I would have looked at it and say, okay, so the selling point of this is Don Knotts in a haunted house. why don't you take your story about this ghost actually being a murderer, and this guy who's like semi-involved but couldn't prove it on his own or something, whatever the hell that is. I guess it doesn't need to be fully explained. But get Don Knotts into the haunted house, and then you freak him out, and then you have him start to put together you have the character who's pulling the strings behind the scenes start to leave clues for Don Knotts, and then Don Knotts figures it out. Maybe his some one of the people in town or somebody gets scared or worried about him, and they send somebody. It's like, you better go check on Don, you know? Or his name in this is Luther, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you better go check on him, and they go and they get caught up into it, and maybe they find the guy who's pulling the strings and confront him, you know. It's like, this is terrible what you're doing. This is horrible. Just horrible.
Yeah. Or even if the, you know, ends up putting together and finds the guy who's trying to leave the clues and just comes together. Like, then he leaves and he writes the story about it, and he becomes like, you know, this big story. You know, you have a great premise for a happy ending instead of an improbable wedding.
Right. And the villain of the piece, you can have the villain actually worried that Don Knotts is going to find out the secrets of the murder, come in to try to actually kill Don Knotts. So it's like, at a certain point, the guy trying to leave clues, trying to get Don Knotts to figure out what happens, he stops, and then you switch over to a guy who's actually trying to kill Don Knotts.
Dave, we should make a haunted comedy.
We should make a horror comedy.
Yeah.
That's totally true. We should do that. And we should have a character who's called the Paperboy. This has nothing to do with nothing. I just thought that off the top of my head.
When I came across an actor with a really expressive face.
Like a rubber face kind of person?
On another project. I don't know if he could do comedy or not, but there's a process.
Sorry, we need to omit all this speculative script writing that we just did, because we're going to make it.
We got something going, Dave.
Yeah, we definitely got something going. So yeah. Anyways, where do we pick up?
Well, we were just complaining about what could have been.
I mean, yeah, and part of what I complain about is, like, there's the girl in the movie, right? Yes. And I said this to you while we were watching. It's just like, it feels like such a waste that they got these women, these actresses, to be in these movies, and they're just sitting on the sidelines as the girlfriend character. They have nothing to do that really affects the plot too much, and that always sucks to me. It feels like a wasted opportunity to have an interesting character development and character interaction there.
Yeah.
It's like, even like Daphne and Velma are like more involved character-wise than...
Yeah. I mean, Velma is usually the one that solves it.
Right. I mean, here the girl comes in at the end and you think she's going to solve it. And she doesn't. She just gets captured so she can be a damsel in distress in a climactic moment. It's such a terrible waste to have this character. Plus, she... All right. There's no other way to say this. She is too good looking for Don Knotts. The second you're like, wait a minute. Are we supposed to believe that she's going to fall for him? There's no freaking way. Maybe the real real life Don Knotts has charisma, but this goofy ass character that he's playing is just so... no.
Well, apparently the studios thought so too when they hired her.
They actually tried to make her look more plain. I mean, this was a quite attractive woman.
She was a Playboy model. You wrote.
Well, not really. She did appear in a Playboy. She was
a one-time Playboy model. I see.
A one-timer.
But she was a model,
right? And when we say Playboy, this is 1950s stuff here. This is modest. This is not showing anything. It's just,
I don't know, man. I got a pen that says different.
Oh, you got a dirty pen.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, hers were quite modest for a Playboy shoot. Anyways. I actually came across the pictures because when I Google searched The Ghost of Mr. Chicken, those pictures came up.
Okay.
They did. And I'm just like, what's this? And then I put, I didn't know why. I was like, why is this old picture up here? The rest of the images from Ghost of Mr. Chicken. And then I read the backstory and found out why. I was like, oh, that's her.
But yeah, she was blonde and they made her put on a wig.
So right.
She would look quite as,
try to tone down her natural hotness.
I guess so, yeah.
And unfortunately, this was her last film. She had a horseback riding injury, and she just did TV after that. She's still alive, though.
Why did she...
Why did she only do TV after her injury?
Yeah, like, was it on a movie set? And she's just like, I don't want to risk it.
I don't know any more details about it other than that it was just her decision to focus on TV work.
Hmm. All right.
I don't think she was in that many movies.
Maybe not, Dave.
But anyways, it's total waste for her. And then I was actually disappointed that the ending of this film was Don Knotts getting married to her. It was just like, there's nothing to do with anything. It's just like, you have to...
He saved her, and now she owes him marriage?
Owes him marriage and babies. Yep. I guess they're going by Shakespearean logic that you know, a comedy must end with a wedding. Have you ever heard that? Shakespearean thing?
No.
Tragedies end with a funeral, comedies end with a wedding.
Oh, okay.
Shakespearean logic.
I don't agree.
Nope. It's not about agreeing or disagreeing. It's that's what Shakespeare did. He said his comedies end with weddings and his tragedies end with funerals.
Sure.
But anyways, the house in this is really interesting. From the second you see the house in this, I had two impressions. I was like, is this the Munster house or is it the Psycho house? It's like, it can't be the Psycho house because the location seems completely wrong. But I'm like, could this be the Munster house? And this was before I did any research. I thought about it. And apparently I'm not the first person who has thought this. So it's, because
it's popular myth.
Right.
About the movie.
And the funniest thing I found out about this is that it's not the Munster house, but the Munster house is right next door to this house.
I'm trying to remember if I saw this house.
It is on a street on the Universal lot.
Which I've been on.
You might have seen it. It's still around. It's still in use by Universal. It was most recently used for a character on Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, because there's like a whole street that they... It might not be that street. It could be a different street. There's like a few streets that have like houses, and then other streets that have offices with facades made to look like houses because they can use it multiple things.
Right, and a lot of these houses were built out of stock pieces. You know, they call them stock units. You know, you bring in the pieces and you put it together on site, right?
Right.
And the reason it kind of looks like the Psycho house is it's because it's made from the same stock units as the Psycho house.
They must have gotten the same parts for the house and it.
Yeah, because you see this house and it looks like a haunted house right from the curb appeal. But it wasn't built to be a haunted house. It was just built for a romantic movie, you know, a 1940s romance film.
I wonder if I saw it.
You probably saw this house. You've probably been on the street where they shot the ghost in Mr. Chicken.
Where's my camera? It's not near me right now, so I can't... I don't know where it is. I probably saw it. I probably saw it. I don't see why
Atta
I wouldn't
boy,
have.
Lucas.
getting that near certainty right in there. No dealing in absolutes.
By the way, this was a moderately successful film when it came out. The week it was released, it was the top grossing film of that week. Though it got released in January, which is notorious for being the dump month for films that the studios don't know or are not sure what to do with. So it's like not in the high grossing films of that year.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, it was successful enough that there's a running gag. There's several running gags in this film. Again, they should have titled this Running Scared. It works thematically on so many levels because it's filled with running gags as well. And one of them is an off-screen voice yelling, "Attaboy, Luther!
Attaboy, George!"
And apparently, that running joke, which is great, that this unseen character off screen at certain moments is just yelling, "Attaboy!" It's ridiculous. It's one of those things where it's like, I don't know why that's funny. It's just funny. But it apparently inspired a short-lived craze where people would actually do that at public events. They just shout out, "Attaboy," in whosever name they were shouting to.
One of the instances of early viral comedy.
Absolutely. This film, it's still kind of around. Like, it's not completely forgotten. It's gotten referenced on, like, MST3K. And it's not in, like, the list of beloved films.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of there. It's kind of remembered. It's got legs. They're chicken legs. But it's got legs. Because, like, in 2005, they released the score to this film on CD.
Yeah, you gotta have some decent level of popularity if somebody's gonna go through that trouble.
Right. Now, the score jumps out immediately in this film.
Yes.
And it was recorded by the popular TV composer Vic Mizzy, who recorded the Addams Family theme, dun-dun-dun-dun, and also the theme to Green Acres. And I believe in 2005, he passed away or something. And that's why they were releasing his work.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe it wasn't totally about the movie itself. It was about the composer, Vic Mizzy, for why it got released on CD. But it's a very good score for what this movie is, you know? It complements it so well. And between, like, the theme of it and also the organ music bit that's a recurring thing that happens, the spooky organ music, that starts out like normal spooky music, and then it kind of gets a hook. Like, it kind of, like, gets this poppy hook to it. And again, the music is just another thing that reminds me watching of Scooby-Doo.
Yes. Did we step? This came out before Scooby, right?
This came out before Scooby. So this was released in 66, and the first Scooby-Doo show to air was in 69.
This had to have influenced it somehow. Like, it's got all the hallmarks of Scooby-Doo.
It does. I mean, I've also said that Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein is basically the template for Scooby-Doo. That Scooby-Doo is, and that Shaggy and Scooby are versions of Abbott and Costello.
And I imagine that also influenced this movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll say this. This is nowhere as good as Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein is on a, if you're looking back at classic comedies, that's on a much higher level of fun than this. This is still quite amusing.
Oh, yeah, that delivers more on the haunted comedy aspect.
As a comedy in itself, I would put this above the Road to Singapore that we watched in terms of classic comedies.
Yeah, I would.
This is much funnier.
I would watch this again before I watch that.
Oh, yeah. I actually own a copy of this now because I heard about this movie on another podcast, and all I heard was Ghost of Mr. Chicken, Don Knotts in a Haunted House, and I was like, stop right there. I'm sold. I have to see this film.
And you bought it and then didn't watch it.
A month ago, I was at a Walmart, and I got to an end section of the DVDs, and they had, like, classic movies. And I looked through, and there were some Psycho, because it's getting near Halloween, it's like they had a bunch of classic horror films up there. And then they had the whole run of Abbott and Costello Meet the Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw this, and I didn't even think about it. I saw The Ghost of Mr. Chicken, and my hand just went out and grabbed it before I did not actually consciously make a decision to buy it. I just grabbed it right off the shelf and picked it up. I'm like, yep, I'm getting this, $6. So I now own a copy of this on DVD, and I will be watching this again. I will probably watch this again within the month. Before the month is out, I'll probably watch this one more time. because I just found it that fun, even though I really wanted this to be Don Knotts in a haunted house. That sounds phenomenally entertaining.
Well, track down that murder mystery. That's you. That's maybe get you a little closer.
That does sound very... I'm going to track that down, too. Yeah, definitely, for sure. There's something about Don... It's like, he's an awkwardly built man. He's, like, scarecrow skinny and awkward. But his talent is that he found a way to enhance the awkwardness of his own personality, like the way he moves. It's like watching him do comedy, it's like his full body is engaged in this living cartoon character. It's phenomenal just to watch him do his act. You know, the stuttering, the talking a million miles an hour, his arms, his whole body is all over the place. You know, it's astonishing to watch his act.
When he, the first moment when he, like, with the car.
Right, yeah.
His face is just, like, flapping everywhere. He's like, blah, blah, blah.
He's shaking, and blah, 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 blah. You know, he's stuttering, like, yeah. he can't even get the words out. He's all freaking out. It's just like, he's a really, really funny guy. And, you know, and that holds up. That is watching Don Knotts in this movie. It has an age. It's as funny. I swear it's got to be. It's got to be as funny now as it was to watch then.
Maybe even more so.
Maybe more so because in retrospect, you know, we grew up seeing him on Scooby-Doo, and then this is like going back and seeing him before Scooby-Doo, inspiring Scooby-Doo. It's like, there was a circle that was completed that as children we didn't even know about, man. And that's a hell of a thing.
That it is. Well, Jellyheads, thank you for listening to this episode of Know Your Turns at the Drive-In. We're your hosts, Luke and...
Dave!
I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you want to find out more, go to our website at psychojellyfish.com to find this and other podcasts.
Oh, come on, Lucas, do it as Don Knotts.
And you can also, I can't seem to get in the right voice.
You know, you can't do that very well, but keep going.
It's horrible. It's very horrible. You gotta go and, you know, where you can find us at any other podcast outlets. We're on Twitter.
Oh, wait. There's one more thing we might be able to add. One of the other really funny bits... This movie is just chock full of funny bits. Even though most of them, unfortunately, don't take place in a haunted house. But one of the ones that's, like, painfully, awkwardly funny is when he has to give a public speech.
Oh. He's like, a public speaker... You might be wondering what that is. It's somebody who... Yeah.
Yeah, he does this thing where it's classic bad public speaking in a way that it's like he's exaggerating it, but you've heard somebody do this in your life. It's so painfully, awkwardly funny. It's probably one of the funniest things in the entire movie. And somebody's like, well, there's some... And I was... told I was going to be speaking in public, I thought, well, who am I to be speaking in public? And it's just, oh my god, you've heard somebody do that. And he just goes on with it, and it's just in the most awkward ways. And it just brings to mind all those instances that you've experienced.
Oh, yeah.
So there's the elevator bit, and another, and some weirdly seeming, it's, there's a couple jokes in this film where you're like, was that just a really dirty joke they threw in there?
She vibrated all night.
Yeah, when they're talking about the woman from the occult society, because she keeps talking about vibrations, and then their husband said, it's like, oh, after that, she went to her room and vibrated for an hour, and we're just, Lucas and I are just looking at each other like, was that just a really dirty joke that got dropped in there?
There was, like, so I'm not sure either, but, like, it was, like, an odd choice of wording when Don Knotts comes out of, like, his soon-to-be-girlfriend-wife person's house. having dinner with her, and he's like, along the lines, is like, man, it's like, that was a, I love that pounded steak or something. There's a little more to it than that, that made me go, was
pounded
that?
Pounded meat?
Was that? Yeah, pounded meat. And I was like, was that a, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe some of these TV writers trying to get away with jokes that they couldn't get away with on TV.
Yeah.
It certainly seems that way now, like when we watch, like especially that line that she vibrated for an hour. It's just like, wait a minute. Good joke.
So that's been the thing. Thanks for listening, Jellyheads.
Good night, gentle listeners.
Keep it psycho.
Murder and calm go together. Calm and murder. Murder.
Murder. Murder most foul. It is chicken, so it is murder most foul.
You crazy loon.
That was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
Attaboy, Luther.
Attaboy, Lucas. I want to try that one more time.
Oh, it was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
All right, so I got two to choose from now.
Two to choose.
Two to choose.
It takes two to choose.
It takes two, babe.
Running down my knee. Figure out whether or not I've got to be. It's stinging me tonight. Why, oh, why won't you bite?
I think we have our afterwards now.